I have had the kingdom of God, as you know, on my mind for a long time, and these most recently, the parables of the kingdom that our Lord spoke. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Each one of these parables is describing a different aspect of how the kingdom of God operates in this world. And I'm going to tell you that it operates exactly in this world the same way it will operate when it's delivered up, and how it will operate in heaven. This one particular here, or at least how we're supposed to operate in it. The kingdom of God is a vast subject. Some of these things have an application in this world, and some of them about how we're supposed to live in the kingdom. And I want us to pay close attention to what Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like in each one of these parables. The parable that I have on my mind this morning is the parable of the mustard seed. In Matthew 13, verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now remember, a parable is a comparison using items that we know about to explain a moral or spiritual truth. And Jesus uses these parables all through here to use natural things to explain spiritual things. Remember, he did that same thing when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus was thinking natural. Jesus was talking spiritual. So in this, in these kingdom parables, we need to pay close attention to what the kingdom of heaven is compared to, because I want to tell you this just because this matters. I ran across an interpretation of this this week that I had never heard in my life. They were talking about this kingdom, that this mustard seed was something that evil men sowed in the field. And they were kind of going on the wheat and the tares. But that the kingdom of God was good, but that men sowed bad things in it. Now, I might go along with that if Jesus had said the kingdom of heaven is like a field that a man planted a mustard seed in. I might go with that, but Jesus didn't say that the kingdom was like a field. He said it was like a grain of mustard seed. Y'all got it. How you think about things matters. What Jesus said matters as to how he intended for it to be interpreted. So when we read the Bible, let's really pay close attention to the order of words and what the words are and what they mean. I preached a sermon one time called "The Boy Hit the Ball." Because for for a sentence to be a sentence, you must have, we got some teachers in here, you must have a subject, an action, and the object of the sentence, the subject of the sentence, and a predicate or an action word, all right? In that sentence, the boy hit the ball, who is the subject? It's the boy, right? What did the boy do? He hit. What did he hit? He hit the ball. All right? Now, hit the ball is the whole predicate. The boy is the subject. Let's turn that around. The ball hit the boy. Same words in a different order. But the picture you get in your mind is totally different, isn't it? I tell you. The Bible and how you read it matters. Jesus said, and how, because it will end up how you form your doctrine and what you understand from it based on what you read. So this is very important. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. Now, have y'all ever seen a mustard seed? Little bitty. When compared to an avocado seed, or a peach pit, or even an acorn, it's minute compared to those things. Now, one mustard seed might seem insignificant. That's why Jesus uses parabolic language a lot of times to make a point. Now, one might think that the larger the seed, the larger the plant or tree. And like a small little acorn, you know how big they are, about as big around as your thumb or something. Grows into this mighty oak tree. Okay, it's a big old seed. Or an avocado. You know them? I was in Africa one time and I saw an avocado seed that was as big as the whole avocados that we buy. It's amazing. That thing looked like a cantaloupe almost. And that grows into a tree. You'd think, wow, that thing's going to be a monster tree. That's normal thinking. That's how we think. But Jesus says, let me make the point to you about this kingdom. It's like a grain of mustard seed and Jesus called it the smallest of seeds among herbs. And I'm sure there are smaller seeds than a mustard seed, but I don't know that they would have understood that there were smaller seeds in the world, because that was a very used item, the mustard seed, very, very important. Now, I want us to remember that Jesus, when he compared this to a mustard seed, or he said it, the kingdom's like a mustard seed, he wasn't comparing it to other tree seeds, like an acorn or an oak or an avocado or a peach. He was comparing the difference between herbs. So, because in amongst an oak tree or in amongst a cedar tree or something like that, this mustard tree might get lost in the forest, right? Jesus didn't compare it to other trees. He said, this is an herb and it's the greatest among herbs. I want you to think about an herb garden. This mustard tree, how it becomes It's the smallest of all the herbs, and yet it grows into a great tree. Imagine going out to your garden and looking at the basil, looking at the rosemary, looking at the thyme, how they're about this high. And yet there is this tree out there that is also an herb, and it towers above all the other herbs. That's what Jesus is making this comparison to. He's not comparing it to oak trees. He's comparing it to herbs. That's how big this thing gets. Now, it grows so large that the branches of it are able to support and shade and even nourish birds, a bird to make her nest there. I mean, a bird's not going to make its nest in a basil plant. It won't support it. It won't. Think about that. I mean, trees that grow big, even if it was 8 or 10 feet tall, but these grow bigger than that. And they're not annual like our mustard greens or mustard plants that we plant. This is a perennial. The trees that are in the Middle East, the mustard trees that are in the Middle East, are not annual. They don't plant them every year. They plant them and they keep growing and they keep growing and they keep growing. You know, I used to think mustard, you know, them think, you know, they just go away. Well, you have to understand the context. Jesus is not talking about American mustard plants. He's talking about those mustard trees found in Africa and in East Africa and in the Middle East. Now, this mustard tree, it is used for a lot of things. Because I want to tell you about this mustard tree, just historically, naturally. It is used for medicinal purposes. It is an antibiotic. It is an antiseptic. And it is even, research has shown that it's good for all those things. And it's also an antifungal use, has antifungal use, the seeds from this mustard tree. And it is, and they even use the branches or twigs from it as toothbrushes. How many of y'all's grandma and grandpa used wood to brush their teeth? Mine did. They still do that. And, I mean, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like this grain of mustard seed. He used it for a reason. And it's also, did y'all know that they also use the grains of this mustard tree to dye garments with? It has a great use, doesn't it? On top of being seasoning for our food. That's what we all think mustard's good for, right? Is to put on a hot dog. Well, that's not the only good thing about it. It has medicinal purposes as well. How many of y'all ever had leg cramps at night? I have. You know what you do? If you don't have any pickle juice, mustard will work just as good. You got leg cramps, and I mean, they wake me up in the middle of the night some nights, and I have to hobble into the kitchen, open the refrigerator, take out the thing of mustard, and squeeze it into my mouth. And within 5 seconds, those cramps have subsided. Don't tell me mustard's not important. Mustard's very important. It has a lot of uses. Now, I read also in an article about this. One article I read about it said that there was many insects that lived here, and they called it even its own little mini or micro ecosystem, that all the things that lived in there thrived under its shade and using it, eating the seeds and stuff from it. So it's important to understand the natural so that we can understand the spiritual. Now, this parable, just on the surface, this parable of the mustard seed describes the very small beginnings of this kingdom and that it will grow to be a large tree. The most prominent and obvious item in the herb garden. Now, I want us to think about this. Way back then, when God told Daniel, in the days of these kings, will God set up a kingdom? It was not at hand. It was way off in the future. And when John the Baptist came, what was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. And then Jesus comes and he preaches the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's two people, isn't it? It started with one. Well, really, it started with God because he told them it's coming. John said, it's here. Jesus said, it's here. Then Jesus walked about, and as he went, he preached the good news of the kingdom, and he called 12 men to walk with him, and he sent those 12 out to preach the kingdom of God. So we've got 14 people now that are preaching the kingdom of God. Then it went back to 13 because John died. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. So you got 13 people now that are preaching the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. And I want you to remember that Jesus preached to the multitudes of people. And many times they're called disciples in the scriptures. But when Jesus started preaching hard things, the multitudes went away and Jesus didn't run after them begging them to come back. You ever thought about it? Jesus didn't say, we've got a gimmick over here for you to come. We're going to have hot dogs and cake and ice cream. So come on back. We're going to have a great time. Now, I love fellowship, but I see in the churches today that there are many gimmicks in order to try to get people in. And the mentality is, we'll do anything to get them in, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Folks will come to church as long as the gimmicks are there, but when the cake and ice cream go, if the cake and ice cream is what got them there, when the cake and ice cream's gone, they'll be gone. My friends, if the Word of God and the Spirit of God is not enough for you, then you are probably in the wrong spot. Now, or maybe you're in the right spot. I don't know. Jesus didn't run after them. And like many do today, Jesus didn't have a light show. He didn't have entertainment. He had the unadulterated, pure Word of God. And he preached the good news of the kingdom. And at Jesus' death and his resurrection, do you know how many true disciples he had? How many followers he had? It had increased from, I mean, I'm not going to call Jesus a follower of Jesus because he was Jesus. All right, so we got 12. And it increased from 12 to 120. That's how many people that followed Jesus Christ, Mary Magdalene, Mary the and Martha, and Lazarus, and a bunch of them, they were followers and part of that 120. And did you know how we started from one man, John the Baptist, and then Jesus preaching the kingdom of God to 12, and then from 12 to 120, and then from 120 to 3,120 on the day of Pentecost? Oh, this mustard seed is growing, isn't it? And did you know just a few days later, so we went from 3,120 to 8,120 in just a few days. It grew and grew and grew and became prominent and was a beautiful, most prominent tree among all the herbs. And it was growing. That's still happening today. Did you know it? It still happens today. And did you know that from Jerusalem, all of those strangers that were there on the day of Pentecost were from Thyatira, you know, all different, Iconium, all different places where the gospel had not, Italy, where the gospel had not been preached, and those men went out, and women and children went back to their homes, you know, because they all had to be in Jerusalem for, you know, for that feast. They all went back to their homes and began to tell others, and then churches were established in these places. Oh, the mustard seed's growing, isn't it? Did you know how far that mustard seed has grown? It has grown from Jerusalem and gone out to the strangers scattered among Pontus, Galatia, Bithynia, and all of those places. And churches were established there. Paul went about on his missionary journeys with Silas and then Barnabas, and they preached the word, and people were converted like the Lydia at Philippi, the Philippian jailer. Mighty things were done. It's still happening. I'll give you a case in point. There was a man from Africa named Obey. He came over to America to go to Estonia Bible College in Birmingham. And then he happened, by the power of God, to have an interest to see what that primitive meant on their sign at Vestavia Primitive Baptist Church. And he walked in and his ears heard for the first time what God had, what he'd always known in his heart. And he rejoiced in the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had always wondered about the salvation of the thief on the cross because he didn't have any works to boast in. He didn't have any baptism to boast in. He didn't say a prayer. He didn't come down and kneel at a mourner's bench anywhere. And he always wondered how that man would be in paradise with the Lord. And he found out that he was there because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it blessed his soul. And that man named Obey went home and he began to preach to his family, his wife and six children. And he went out and he hit the road every day and prayed with people. And just, he was a magnetic personality, you understand. And he went out and he preached the gospel of the kingdom in a Muslim country. About 40% Muslim, 40% a Christian, and a 20% pagan, real pagans. And from that small beginning, first trip, we baptized 30-something people in the Indian Ocean. Then after that, he was blessed and had a burning desire to preach in Kenya. And Brother Martin reached out to Brother Vernon. It's a wonderful story. I won't go into it. The point is that today there are primitive Baptist churches in more than 10 countries in Africa with fellowships in several more. There's one elder named Jeff Chabala that was there. And did you know that one minister, Brother Jeff, Elder Jeff, has baptized himself over 5,000 people? Oh, it started off small in Obey's house, didn't it? Preaching to his family. And then it went out. And that man heard it and was converted from an elder named Kizala in Zambia. And this Kizala came initially to one of the days that we were, Brother Sam, Brother Charles Kitchens and I, we had had week-long question and answer period, and they came down from Zambia because they wanted to hear what this new doctrine was. My friends, I want you to know that this grain of mustard seed is still growing. This grain of mustard seed is still a mighty tree among the herbs. It's still the most prominent, the tallest. Its roots run deeper than anything else, and its height is unsurpassed. This tree is continuing to grow, and what this idea is that this is talking about, one thing that it is talking about is how it grows. It's evangelism. It's called gospel networking. You ever thought about in your professional life, how many people have ever heard, I've got a network. That means you go to a gathering and you make connections with people. You talk to them, say, oh, here's what I can do. What can you do? Or what can you do? Let me tell you what I can do. Maybe we can help each other. Let me tell you about some new thing. Let me make a connection with you so we can develop a relationship. My friends, that's how the gospel is spread. I want you to know that if one person, I did the math on this. It took me a good little minute, but it's all right. I'm a math man. I want y'all to know if one person tells 10 people about the gospel in 1 month, just 10 a month, and you get two people, just two, that are excited and happy to hear about it, and those two people, each one of those tells 10 people the next month, then you've got four people now that are following, if the rate of return is the same at 20%. Did you know how many people you'll have as how many people the gospel will reach in 21 months? 9,830,400. And at a 20% proliferation rate, 1,966,080 people will be disciples. If only 2 out of 10 hear what you have to say, and even if it's 1, that's still almost 1,000,000. Even at the 10% rate of return, it's still almost 1,000,000. Y'all got it. That's called evangelism. That's talking about spreading the word. Now, this kingdom, it started small, didn't it, with John the Baptist. But oh, how it has grown. Did you know one of the most prominent names that's recognized throughout the world is Jesus Christ? Did you know his gospel has been preached in, or at least some people have heard of Jesus Christ in almost every country that has ever been since his setting up of the kingdom, I mean. You know, when he sent his disciples out into all the world, it pretty much has gone that way. I know Jesus was talking about taking it to the Gentiles now, because the Jews thought they were the whole world. You know, the world revolved around, I mean, the Jews thought that they were the world. They called it a world. He said, now you go into all the world. This grain of mustard seed has grown into a mighty tree. It's got a lot of branches. Now, as the mustard seed grows into a tree, the kingdom of God grows and increases in size, influence, strength, and fruits. Y'all got it? You know, the bigger the tree is, the more seeds it's going to produce, right? That's fruit. You can make a whole lot more mustard with a big old mustard tree. Now, I want us to get this, because thinking about the kingdom, David said, although my house, these were some of his last words, King David said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Although he maketh it not to grow. You got to rightly divide some stuff, don't you? David was talking about the kingdom of God. Ultimately, why is the king, why did David said he maketh it not to grow? That's because he already knows every one of them that are in it. Amen? He knows who he elected. He knows who he predestined. He knows who he foreordained. He knows his children already. That number is not increasing, but from our perspective, it is increasing because we don't know. And we see the kingdom of God and its proliferation in the world growing from a seed into a giant mustard tree from the smallest of seeds. We see that. So his invisible kingdom, I mean the kingdom that Jesus is going to deliver up, has always been as big as it has ever been or ever will be, because God knows who's in it. But from our perspective, we see the kingdom growing, and it grows every time in our vision when the Spirit of God comes and borns another person again. But this tree is growing, and this tree is suitable for something. This tree is suitable for the birds to rest their weary wings. You know, y'all remember Noah and Ark, right? You remember he sent out a dove. Dove didn't have any place to rest. Couldn't find any land. So she came back, so she could rest her legs, rest her wings. Then finally, when there was a place for her to light, came back with an olive branch. That told them that the waters had abated and that flood was over. And that they were, land had appeared. And then he sent the dove out again and didn't come back. That's when he knew she found a place to rest. You know, Jesus didn't say she just rested there. Jesus said that the birds of the air lodge in her branches. They lodge there. What does that mean? That means they build a nest there. They build a home there. They had their babies in that nest. They reared their babies there, and they taught their babies how to fly there. And then it's still available for their babies to build their nests because it's big enough to build their nest there for safety, for protection from predators, and for shade. What a blessing that is. And because insects are there, they can feed there. There's food in this mustard tree. Y'all, think about it. That's a natural illustration. But what does it mean for us? What does it mean for God's children today? Jesus said that it's the smallest of seeds, but it grows into a mighty tree. And my friends, the kingdom of God is here, and it's available, and it's strong enough for you to lodge in too. It's strong enough, and the branches can support you. It's suitable for you to build your house here, to lodge in her. For it's suitable for you to raise your children in and to train them. And it's suitable for them to come and lodge in her branches when they're ready to build a lodging. My friends, I want you to know that that kingdom is not the birds. It's the tree. Remember? It's the grain of mustard seed that grows into a tree. And it's proliferated throughout the whole world. And I tell you, not only is it suitable for you to lodge in, it's suitable for you to gain all kind of medicinal properties from it too. There's healing available in this tree. There's blessings available in this tree. There's food available in this tree. There's shelter available in this tree. There's protection available in this tree. There's shade available in this tree. Boy, I tell you what. You know what Jesus is talking about? Oh, he's talking about the kingdom of God, but lodging in it, he's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all got it? It's suitable for lodging. It's suitable for protection. It's suitable for medicine. It's suitable for you to build your house in it. Build a house in a house. Isn't that great? I'll tell you what. The door is open for you to come and lodge in her branches. And so I publish the doors of the church open for reception of members, should any have that desire. May God help us to understand more about what the kingdom of heaven is like. Father, help us to be a blessing to someone this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Father, help us to have a heart for evangelism, that thy kingdom might continue to grow and be mighty in influence in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.